Amen. He's still able. He's still able. Our God is not changed. He's not weakened. Hasn't changed his mind about anything. Anything that he said he'll do, he'll do it.
Amen.
So his word is forever settled in heaven. It's forever settled. You don't have to worry about it. Just talking to someone before come to church, and what was my granddaughter? And I was just sharing with her Psalms 37. So much rich goods in those, in that chapter, first seven verses of it. It's just wonderful. And sometimes, don't do it now, but sometimes you can look at it and you can analyze it. God will bless you with it. It's a great portion of Scripture. And Psalmist David was struggling with some things. And one of the first things he said is, "Fret not thyself." Then he said, "Rest." Finally got to where he said, "Rest in the Lord."
Rest in
Him. We can rest in the Lord. Amen. We got to know our God first. We got to know Him.
Yes, amen.
Amen. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to serve Him.
Amen.
He was talking about love. Just in the last few months of my life, I've realized what it means to love the Lord, and I've realized what it means for God to love you.
Yes, amen, brother.
And I preached to you last Wednesday night that I preached, wasn't it? Or was it the week before that? Anyway, yeah, all right, I preached on that obedience is the bedrock of wholeness. Just the bedrock of wholeness, obedience. And if you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. Loving God is not just like some of this puppy love stuff and some of this mushy talk about love. It's action. It's action. Amen? Zephaniah 3, if you would, and pray for me. Amen. Sometimes, and especially if you're visiting, you're a little bit leery sometimes to preach what you feel like you need to. But, and it's not to say that I think anything about the church, what it needs, or anything. I just preach what the Lord lays upon my heart. I'm not judging you. If there was one person here that needed this, I would be justified. God would be justified in giving it to me, and I'd be justified in preaching it. Amen? But I believe we all can receive from it, including myself. Amen. Zephaniah 3:1-7. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bone till the marrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst of her. Now listen to that. The just Lord. You know why he said the just Lord is in the midst of her? That whatever God's going to do, he's just.
That's right. Yes. That's right. That's
his judgment.
That's right.
Is just and right. Psalmist David said that in Psalms 119. The just Lord is in the midst of her. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, and there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Would you pray with me? Father, this is your word, Lord. I want to be your servant, God. I want to be humbled, God. I want to be anointed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we are before your throne. We're in the midst, God, of these people. Your presence, Lord, I desire your presence. I desire direction, God. I desire your anointing. Holy, holy, holy God. Help us tonight, Lord, to humble ourselves before you. Do that, God, that's pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus, touch every heart, mind, and soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I want to use a title, and I don't mean to say that anybody here is about to come to spiritual ruin, but that's what I want to preach to you on. This is a prime example of spiritual ruin that Israel was about to suffer, about to go through. And they would not listen to God. He had tried everything he could to correct them, every way he could to instruct them, to teach them his ways. God was faithful here. God is faithful to you and I. He's never unfaithful, in no way. There's three things I like to say to God when I pray. I like to tell God, you're a God of holiness, you're a God of righteousness, and you're a God of faithfulness. Those three things He is, folks. And when you're praying and seeking God, if you just keep those three things in mind, my God is holy. My God is righteous. And my God is faithful. And I, you know, it's a joy when you know that God is holy and righteous and faithful. If you're holy and righteous and faithful. You say, Brother Ross, you can't be. Yes, you can. That's a contradiction of the enemy, not of God. That's the reason God declares to us that He's holy and He's righteous and He's faithful. He wants us to be holy and righteous and faithful. Amen? And we can do it. We can do it. I want to tell you what you'll have to do. You'll have to sell out. I mean, you'll have to be totally turn your life over to God, give your life to God. And then everything is a lot easier for you as you go along life's way. You can't fight against God, I can tell you. That's what these people were doing. They were absolutely fighting against God. And if we would just surrender ourselves to God and be obedient to Him, we'd get so much more out of life. I'm His. I'm His tonight. I don't know about you, but I belong to Him. He is my God. Why wouldn't I want to serve Him? He has delivered me. He has set me free. He's brought me out of bondage into His marvelous liberty. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory, I feel His presence. Hallelujah. I want you to notice four things with me. Let me give them to you again in verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. Number 2, she received not correction. Number 3, she trusted not in the Lord. Number 4, she drew not near to her God. After all this wooing, after all of the pricking and convicting power of God, after God sending prophet after prophet after prophet to them, they rebelled against the Lord. They said no to God. God has done so much for you and I. I mean, so much for you and I. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves saying, Lord, I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. Sometimes we'll mark it up as, I don't feel that. I just don't feel that.
Come on, brother.
And it can be over two things, according. But let me say it this way. Sometimes we're far away. We're so far away from God until we cannot really feel it. I mean, God can speak to us, but we're hung up on something else, or we're thinking about something else, or we're wanting to take another path that we shouldn't take. And so when we're like this, you know, God sometimes cannot speak to us, or He speaks to us, but we don't hear Him.
Amen.
He just does not. We do not hear Him. Everyone that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. See, God's speaking, but we're just not listening a lot of times. Amen? So I want to preach on these four things for just a little while. Number one, disobedient. She was disobedient. She obeyed not the voice. It was the voice of God that was speaking to her. It was not a prophet. He might have been using a prophet, but it was God. We got to remember that. You know, unless the preacher's just got a sour spirit and he's puffed up and he's aggravated and he's high-tempered and all that stuff coming at you. I mean, you know, if he's that way, then you can kind of count him off, you know, and mark him off. But if he comes to you and it's God's presence, it's God, according to the word of the Lord, then we have got to listen to what thus saith the Lord. You know, all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I say, as long as we trust in God, we'll have hope. We quit trusting in God and the Word of the Lord. We do not have hope. There is no hope if we don't trust our God. Amen? And so she was disobedient to the Lord. She obeyed not the voice of God. And you know, Peter talked about in 1 Peter 4 and 1, he said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen? Or forever, amen. And so here Peter used the word, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. It is speaking the voice of God, the words of the Lord. And so the oracles of God means the sayings of God, the mandate or the decree or the order of God. It's the moral precepts given by God Himself through prophets and preachers.
Hallelujah.
Old Testament prophets given by prophets, amen. And what is declared, it is what God is declaring to you and I. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, I don't know about it. You know, I tell you what, when I come up here, I enjoy the preaching of the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Because I feel His presence, amen. When any one of these preachers preaches, I want to tell you, Sunday, folks, if you got any doubts or anything, amen, if you'll just trust me for a minute, let me tell you, Sunday, amen, was the icing on the cake of anything I've been in since I've been coming up here, amen. God was here in a mighty way, and God was speaking to this people. He was speaking to me. He was speaking to you. God had something to say. He's tired of us being slack. He's tired of us not getting all the way in. Amen. He's tired of us not getting all the way in. Amen. And so God was saying to you and I that holiness is real. The word of the Lord is powerful. It is mighty. It is the weapon in which God is using in these days to speak to His preacher and to speak to His people. Amen. They were disobedient. They would not hear. They would not hear the word of the Lord. So God was saying to them, if you're not going to hear me, then, you know, I'm going to do something else. They read the Scriptures, but did not learn the Scriptures. And we've got that in this day, because you've got those Johnny-come-latelys that are preaching on television and these big old, I don't know what you call them, they're calling them churches, but I don't call them churches. Cathedrals of some kind. They took the money, they fleeced people, took and built those churches, and they call themselves preaching. They're not preaching no truth. They're preaching lies. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get so sick sometimes listening to this stuff. I don't listen to it myself most of the time. But sometimes I hear or read behind in a book behind some of the things they have to say. And I don't know how in the world that they can call themselves ministers of God. Amen. When they preach some of the stuff that they preach. But I can tell you, if we're going to call ourselves the ministers of God, we better preach what thus saith the Lord. We better give to the people exactly what God gives to you and I. If we don't, we're going to stand before God and give account of every deed done in the body. I feel His presence in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah 8:9 said, "The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? None. No wisdom in them. None whatsoever." And so Paul talked to Timothy. Timothy was facing some things in the New Testament, and Paul talked to him. I imagine there were some people in the church that didn't want to hear what Timothy was saying, and he was a lot younger than some of them and some of the elders in the church and all. And I think Timothy had he had some fear in him, that no man despise thy youth. I believe he's kind of afraid because he was a young person. And Paul was, on to that, and he was writing to him. And finally, he just told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, completely furnished." Hallelujah. God didn't give us the Word of God to sit on the bench. He didn't give us the Word of God to twiddle our thumbs, Amen, and pass the buck. God gave you and I the Scripture to preach the gospel to the people. You never know when one of the flock, amen, is going to stagger in this church and got to have something, amen. We better be prepared. We better be ready, because we're going to give account to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thoroughly furnished, prepared unto every good work. Number two, she disregarded what God had said. She received not correction. Did not receive correction. That's sad. Listen. I hear him saying to Israel, "I didn't know that there was another God." Now I'm just paraphrasing. "I didn't know that there was another God. I don't know of one." God said, "I don't know of one."
Come on, brother.
He said, "I'm God. I'm the only God. I'm the Creator. I'm the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I furnished the salvation for you to be delivered by. I've given you everything that you've got. I've not withheld anything from you. Come on. I'm God. There is no other God. There is no other way." And this God was trying to get their attention and call them back to where they once was and tell them, "Hey, this is the only way to salvation right here. If you go any other way, you're going to be lost." He's God. He's sitting on the throne tonight looking down upon us. He knows us. He knows what's in our heart. We can't hide it from Him.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. Praise God.
Not the one thing to do if you are rebelling in some manner, some way against God. There's only one thing left for you to do. That's to bow to me and say, God, would you forgive me?
Amen.
Have mercy upon me, oh God. According to your loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's God. You hear me? I can't get away from that. He's God, the Almighty, the Faithful. You hear me? He knows everything. He created everything. He sees deep down in your heart. He knows you. There's nothing hid from this God to whom we have to do, with whom we have to do. Nothing hid from Him, saints of God. He sees us as we are. Glory to God. You have not got one thing hid from God. He knows you inside out. Hallelujah. And He looks, He searches the reins. He looks deep into the heart and sees mankind. And when God sends a message of rebuke, it ain't because He hates you. It is because He loves you.
Come on, brother.
He loves you. He loves you. Until we get our act straight, we don't even know what love is. You can look at all the things that God has done through the Scriptures. How much patience He had with Israel. All the things that He's done. If we could look at that and see, I can tell you right now, we'll see that He's a God of love. A God of compassion. It took sin after sin after sin. It took time after time after time of them bowing before idols and doing their ungodly ways and all that before He ever destroyed them.
Yes.
If it had not been for His mercy, we would have been consumed yesterday. Help me, Lord. They had disregard for Him and His Word. The things He had spoken, they disregarded. And they didn't wait. They didn't listen. They rebelled. I'm telling you, God's got one plan. One plan, folks. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but God does. They did not got regard God's word. She received not correction. She did not profit by His chastisement, by His warnings. Hebrews 12:7 said, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now, chasteneth to me is when, you know, you get a beating, you get a whipping. My father knew how to put that on you. And he did it with anger. Because you had broke his rules. You had did something contrary. I've had the blood cut out of the back of my legs. That's no fun. With a plastic belt, you don't know what those others, well, some of you here might. A plastic belt back in the late 40s, early 50s. And my daddy would make you roll your britchy legs up and he'd put one on you. I got to be careful. I don't think God's yet made us roll our britchy legs up. But He's loved us enough until He's warned us time and time and time and time and time again. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to be bold. I don't think Brother Woods or these other preachers, elders here, will get on to me. And some of you are still going down your same old stubborn
right.
way.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead.
I promised God I'd do what He told me to do. And that's so sad. That's so sad. We rebel against, we're put on the clothes. We'll separate ourselves to a point. But then when it comes to totally and completely throwing ourselves upon His mercy and His Word, we'll say, no, I ain't going no further. I'll separate myself by clothes and I'll quit going to worldly places. But when it comes to totally and completely surrendering to God, my will, my way, I will not do it. I'm telling you, you're not going to touch God. You're not going to hurt God. You'll hurt your family. They'll see your stubbornness. You can say what you want to. Your family will see your stubbornness.
Amen, brother. Come on, man.
You might lose some of your children or your grandchildren in hell because of your stubbornness.
Right. Come on, go ahead.
He can correct me later if he wants to. And I'd listen. I would listen. This brings about spiritual ruin in our life. It brings about spiritual ruin in our life. We say what we want to. You're not headed for good. You're not headed for out of the valley up the hill. You're headed off the hill down the valley. You're headed from the high places down to the low places. You're headed towards danger. And it's sad that preachers have to preach like this. But it's with love. You notice most of us shed tears even. Amen? If you endure chastening, but if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons.
Right.
Then are you illegitimate children.
Right.
You know what God is saying in plain English? You don't belong to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's sad, isn't it?
Oh,
it's sad that God has to make a statement like that.
Right.
You don't belong to me. When we know of something that's written in the book, and that's what God was telling them.
Come on, man.
Sent them prophets, told them about the law, the Ten Commandments, all the law that He had given them that would govern their lives and govern their nation. And God said, if you'll do these, I'll bless you. No nation will be able to stand against you. And I'll tell you, I pour out my blessings upon give you the rain in due season. Your crops will increase. Amen. You'll store up in your barns. But He said, if you don't, I'm going to take away all those blessings.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Let me go on. God's judgments were ignored by these people. God sent pestilence. He sent droughts. He sent wars. He sent calamities among them. And they ignored God and complained about the calamities. They complained about the droughts and the wars and all of that stuff. And wondered why that God wasn't fighting for them and why God wasn't blessing them and why God didn't hear and answer their prayers and for their families and all of those. It is because that they knew better to do than to do what they were doing, but they was going on and doing it anyway.
Right.
And so God said, I have no choice. I have no choice. So when we go wrong, we disobey God. God has no choice. He sends us pestilence.
Yes.
How many realizes that right now, in this hour that we're living in, pestilence are great?
Right.
You don't believe it matches what's going on in our land right now. You get your Bible and run reference on the Greek where Jesus was talking about the things that would come to pass at the end. And the writers, And you'll find out that that's pestilence. Those things are pestilence. These hurricanes and these other things, tornadoes, they're the very thing that Christ is talking about. Did you know in 1967, I believe it was 62, 60, somewhere in there, from then till 1992, there was more earthquakes than there was from 1962 all the way back to Christ's day. All the way back to Christ's day. God is sending those things among us now. And I'm going to tell you right now, it don't mean that we're exempt from them. It doesn't mean that. We're troubled.
Come on, brother.
Unless we seek God. And that's what God was trying to get the people to do Sunday afternoon. Completely and totally turn their life over to God. Give their life to God. That's exactly what God's trying to do. He's got a few ministers and a few people that love Him so much that they'll preach it and they'll live it and they'll woo and draw by the Spirit of the living God people to their lives.
Hallelujah.
But some He's got will rebel.
Right.
Will rebel. I can't get away from that hardly. Can't hardly get away from that. God said, return unto me. He said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. They wouldn't do it. Even from the days of your father, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, he said, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, where shall we return? Wherein shall we return? How are we going to return to you when we haven't left you, God? And that's where a lot of people are at today in the world. They don't even know that they've walked away from God. They've left God. They've left His love and His mercy and His grace and His wooing and His drawing and His pricking and convicting power. Amen. They've left it and walked away. And I tell you, that is spiritual ruin.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Yes, it is. Number three, they didn't trust Him. That's sad. Didn't trust Him. She trusted not in the Lord. Trusted not in the Lord. My. I don't know about you, but I failed along the way. Some. There's been times when I drifted. You know. Kind of got on my own a little bit. Didn't totally walk away from God. But just kind of got on my own a little bit. You may have never been there. If you haven't, just mark me up. I'm one of those. But thank God that I saw.
Yes.
Where I was at.
That's what it is.
God's been so merciful to me. You know what He done? He wooed me and drawed me and pricked me and convicted me and brought me back. Brother John, I finally said, yes, Lord. Yes. Yeah, I was wrong, God. I've been wrong, Lord. Please forgive me. I wept, I cried, I shed tears. He forgave me and brought me back. But if I'd have been rebellious, I'd have soon been out. Completely and totally out. Listen to me, saints of God. If we're going to get anything done for God, we're going to have to be obedient to Him. They didn't trust Him. She trusted not in the Lord. And unbelief, listen, unbelief is always associated with distrust. Pretty soon you won't believe.
Yeah.
You'll walk away from God.
Right.
Unbelief.
That's right.
That'll be about the second thing that comes into your life.
Yeah.
Unbelief. You won't believe God heals anymore.
Yeah.
You won't believe that God delivers anymore. We was talking here just recently with somebody. I remember when I was raising my children, they have no hospitalization. Didn't have none. When I went to work for God, I just walked away from the best job I ever had in my life. You're both no. God said, you quit it and preach the gospel for me. I said, I'll do it. Took my joy first time. I said, I ain't going to do it. He said, you're not going to shout no more then. You're not going to rejoice anymore then. And I didn't. I just quit shouting. I said, God, what's wrong? What's wrong? Joe, I was a shouter, folks. I said, what's wrong, God? He said, will you agree to preach my gospel? I'll give you back the joy. I'll give you back the joy. I left that job, started preaching the gospel. I have never looked back. I have never regretted leaving that job. Good retirement, good money, made good money. Good retirement, good insurance policy. Come on, for the family and all that stuff. I walked away. When I was raising my children, didn't have hospitalization. I remember one time my middle daughter, Regina's mother. I knew it was gallbladder. I knew it was just symptoms and all the way it was. And so Rhonda was laying on the couch, sick. I said, baby, you want to pray or you want to go to the emergency room? She said, I want you to pray for me, Daddy. We prayed. We prayed. I said, now, baby, we're going to have to really get a hold of God here. She said, let's pray. We prayed, me and the wife and the other kids. We prayed, and God came down and instantly healed that girl. She got up the next morning and went to school. That's right. He hasn't changed. We've got to trust Him, folks. We have got to trust Him. You know, it's an insult to our God when He said, I'll heal you. I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And we don't trust Him to heal us. I'm preaching to me too. I told Brother Dan, I said, I want y'all to pray for me. I got to where my hips hurt me so bad and shoulder hurts me so bad at night. Can't hardly sleep. I'm rolling and tossing and can't hardly sleep. I don't believe God's pleased with that. I know He can heal me. I'm supposed to preach His gospel till I die. And I don't believe He wants me doing it that way. Come on here. Come on. Hey, folks, we can trust this God. We can trust Him. He'll do to depend upon. Will He not? Yes, He will. Hallelujah. Some of you sitting here, you know what miracles are. Amen. They work, folks. They do it. The wife fell out the back porch. Off the back door, just 3 steps. Boom, 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 boom. She screamed, eyes out for the back of the house. And I went to running. And I said, oh, Lord. He said, are you calling on me or are you just saying, oh, Lord? I said, I'm calling on you, God. He said, everything will be all right. Went there, got her up. Never went to the doctor. Yes, she's black and blue.
Yeah.
Didn't go to the doctor. Didn't have no broke bones. No trouble. Hey, that's the God we serve, folks. He's faithful. He's faithful. You hear me? But Israel did not trust Him. And so he turned away from them. Isn't that sad? She drew not near to God. That's number 4. She drew not near to God. Listen to this. Application here is that she finally turned away altogether. There's a danger. She didn't draw nigh to God. So if you don't draw nigh to God, you're not going to stay where you're at. You're not going to stay where you're at.
Come on. That's right, brother.
I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. You're not going to stay where you're at.
Amen.
God don't want us in a standstill. We're going to go forward or we're going to go backwards. Amen?
Amen.
We're going on or we're going to backslide and go back. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm in high gear. You hear me? I want to go forward. Come on here. Anybody listening to what I'm saying? I want to go forward. God's got something down there for us. He's got something up the way for us. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. God is not through with me. And I'm going forward. He's not through with you. We need to go forward. She finally just turned away from God altogether. Israel rejected the Lord. I can't get away from here, right here. Somebody in here, God is saying to you, you better move up. You better start drawing nigh to me. You can't stay where you're at.
Come on, brother. Amen.
That's so sad. It's so sad.
Come on.
I'm not going by what anybody told me.
Come on, brother.
I'm going by what God spoke to me.
Yeah.
Mm. It don't matter how. It don't matter what we can do. It don't matter how great we seem to be in the church. God is not going to put up with us with a standstill. He's not going to do that. Matter of fact, I don't even know how people go on like they're going a lot of times. It is so, that place is so deserted where you're at. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's so lonely where you're at.
Right.
You know where we get our satisfaction? Not from singing, the choir singing, not from Brother John leading. He's a good leader. Picks good songs. I mean that from the heart. I'm amazed at how good you sing. You feel the Spirit. But that's just the majority of the people, amen, got in one mind and one accord. That don't mean you are in one mind and one accord with the rest of them.
Come on, brother. Come on now. Come on.
Hallelujah now. Come on.
I know you're going to pretty soon say, Brother Dan, don't let him preach no more.
Hallelujah.
I promised God a long time ago, I'd preach what He laid upon my heart, what He gives to me. God sent judgment. He sent wooing and drawing and pricking and convicting by His word and by the prophets. They begged the people to turn. They wouldn't turn. And finally God said, it's judgment. Going to send judgment if you don't turn. He said His judgment was with Him. I read it to you. His judgment was there. And you know, He wouldn't be a very faithful God, a very good God to us, if He let us stay where we're at. And never wooed us or drawed us.
Right,
never convicted us.
Right.
Never. Nay, no more. Never stirred us.
Yeah. Come on.
Never preached to us.
Come on, man.
If God did that, He wouldn't love you.
Right. Amen.
When He's doing those things, God is saying to you, I love you.
Yes.
Come on here.
That's it.
Come on. Brother. Come on. Follow me.
Right.
Yeah, come on.
Get out of your reluctance.
Yeah.
Get out of your standstill. Get out of your same old place.
Yeah.
All the time. Same old. All the time.
Come on, brother. Come on.
But Brother Ross, how do you get there? I can tell you, surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender to God. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. And that's not the end of it. God's going to draw nigh to you.
Amen.
You'll be amazed from here to where God wants you. You'll be amazed from that reluctant place you were until that place that God's brought out for you.
Oh, now go ahead.
You'll be amazed.
Right.
You know, we want to do things for God. And sometimes we're jealous of other people that are doing things for God.
Amen.
But you know what happens sometimes? You're setting back. You're setting back. You're jealous of other people and you're setting back. God could never use you and you being jealous of your own brother and sister. Could never do that. God's children are all treated the same if they'll do the same. Because some has excelled, others are jealous. I would never be there. I know the God that I serve is able to put me where He wants me. I come here. I had a revival scheduled. And the man called me and canceled it. I was supposed to preach it while I was here. And he called and canceled the revival. Well, boss, what did you say to him? I told him, well, whatever you want to do, that's fine with me. But Brother Ross, you lost a revival. I preached almost enough for a revival here. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
I've preached, what, four times? Something like that.
Praise God.
About four times. Only like one more and that would be a 5-night revival, wouldn't it? See, God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. If we could ever learn to trust Him and to wait on Him, and say, God, I know that You don't love somebody else more than You love me.
Right.
I know, God, You use those that submit to You and surrender to You. And those that pray and seek Your face, God, You use those people. And I want to tell you, I don't even like to use the thing that I'm fixing to use. And maybe you'll forgive me if you think I'm wrong. But you know the story of Cinderella and her two sisters. She did all the work. They got the praise. Well, did you know God needs some secret prayer warriors?
Yeah, come on, man.
Did you know that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. If He had enough of secret prayer warriors that would water their seed with tears,
right. They
would doubtless come again.
Right.
Rejoicing, bringing their sheets with them.
Ahead,
see, they showed off, dressed up. She was poor and had to get on her knees and scrub the floor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God may be wanting to use you in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and you want to show off somewhere else.
Come on.
Mm.
Come on. Mm.
You know what that's like? I mean, to say, God, I don't want that place. And if You ain't going to give me this one up here where I can get up in front of everybody and do something, then I don't want nothing at all.
Come on.
Well, that's just exactly what God will do.
Right.
If you don't want to fit where He gives you, and I know I'm preaching pastoral stuff. I know that. God sent the pestilence and everything to try to change their mind. They wouldn't do it. Finally, God said, she drew not near to her God. The implications was, as I said, she finally turned away altogether, rejected the way of the Lord, rejected the chastisement of God, rejected His Word, His salvation, His plan. She rejected everything. She drew not near to God, did not worship Him, did not walk in His ways, did not make prayer her supplication before him. She did not submit to the Lord. She did not draw nigh to God so he could draw nigh to her. She did not cleanse her hands. She did not purify her heart. So what could God do? She rejected the Lord. God even offered and said, if you'll turn to me, he said, I'll turn to you. If you'll just turn to me, I'll return to you. I just want to give you a few scriptures here, and then I'm going to try to close. This is the end of the path for Israel right here. This was the end of the path for Israel. You say God doesn't do those things. What does Hebrews chapter 10 say? Verse 17, somewhere along there. So that how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy of, who hath trodden under foot the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, done despite to the spirit of grace. How much sore punishment? They died under two or three witnesses under the law. How much sore punishment do you suppose that we should be thought worthy of? When we trod underfoot the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, do a despite to the spirit of grace. You know what he's talking about here? The spirit of grace? The spirit of grace is a chance, another chance. The spirit of grace is God will work with us. Come on. The spirit of grace is that God wants to help us. And God will do everything he can to help us. And if we do despite to that, how much sore punishment suppose you shall we be thought worthy of than stoning? Come on. They stoned them back there for that. He said, hey, you're going to do despite to the spirit of grace. What's God going to do to you? Reject you. That's bad, isn't it? Brother Ross, you're making enemies. No, I'm not. No, I'm not making enemies. I'm preaching what the Lord. Somebody here needs what I'm preaching. Amen. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. The world does not control what goes on in your life. You can't say, and the congregation does not control what goes on in your life. I can't say that. I can't say anybody keeps me from getting close to God. I can't say that anybody stops me from receiving blessings from God. I can't say that anything. I can't accuse the world. I can't say the world is stopping me. I can't say that. I tell you, I am no more closer to God because I am slack. I am dragging my feet. Come on here. I'm failing to say yes to God and no to the world. Amen. You know, if I'm lagging behind, it's because I got my eyes on somebody else. I tell you, if you get your eyes off of the world and get your eyes off of other people, you can advance toward God.
Amen. Preach, brother. Preach.
Yes, you can.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We're living in a lukewarm age. Lukewarm age. What is that lukewarm age? It's getting us away from the fire.
Right.
You know? How many knows what that is? Lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold.
Right.
Now, I would that you were hot or cold.
Right.
I want to ask you a question. You don't have to participate with your hand or nothing. You can just ask yourself. Are you cold and indifferent? You say, no, Brother Ross, I'm not cold and indifferent. I want to ask you another question. Are you hot?
Come on.
Are you hot?
Come on.
You say, no, Brother Ross, I'm not hot. Only leaves one position.
That's right.
Lukewarm. Lukewarm.
Right.
That's all that's left.
Right.
I know. You don't know what a preacher goes through with sometimes in a situation like this right here where I'm at. But if you don't obey God, you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
How can God trust me the second time if I fail to do what He tells me to do the first time? He said, I tried to use you the last time and you wouldn't listen to me. You were scared of the people. You were afraid. And so I'm trying my best to not be afraid, but yet I'm trying my best to let you know that I love you and God loves you also. Lukewarmness, he said, you need to ask of me. You need to ask of me. Gold, pure, solid gold, tried in the fire. And he said, you need the eye salve. You know? You need your ears touched so you can hear. You need your heart. You won't find that in, but you need your heart softened. So you feel the good presence, the wooing, drawing, pricking, convicting power of God. Let me tell you something. I'm going to go one more further, and if you want to get angry at me, you go ahead. But I can tell you there's many churches out there that's not getting what you're getting. There's many churches out there that are cold and indifferent. They got the holiness standard, but they don't have the fire of God burning in their soul. You hear me now? What's God going to do, amen, if you sit back and lag back in an atmosphere like this?
Come on, brother. Jesus.
I wouldn't lag behind with all this in my favor. I would not do it, folks. I would not do it. I'd seek the face of God. I'd seek the face of God. I'm talking about you got a great church. But you're not acting, Brother Ross, like it is. No, I am acting like it is. But there's a few that you're not doing what God wants you to do. I remember a time, one time I had a revival. And I said, God, you know what's going on here. Let my evangelist expose this. Later, the evangelists, I talked to them and they said God spoke to them, but they would not preach it. They would not talk.
Jesus.
And see, that's wrong.
Right.
That's wrong.
Amen. That's wrong.
Stand on your feet with me, please. It's your prayer life that brings results to your life. It is your prayer life. It is your surrender. It is you telling God, I will. I will, God, I will. I surrender. I'll give you my all. That's going to bring victory in your soul. That's going to bring joy in your soul. And that's what you need more than anything in this world. You need the joy of the Lord because it is your strength. It is your strength. And if you'll get the joy of the Lord in your heart and your life, you can overcome anything that the world will throw your way. You can overcome anything that anybody in the church will throw your way. You can overcome that, but until you do, you will not be able to overcome all that. The devil will just keep adding and adding and adding and adding. And you'll just keep going down and down and down and down. Don't do that. Don't do that. I plead with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not do that. Wake up, get up, make up your mind that you're going to seek the face of God. The Lord loves you. God loves you, saints. God loves you. You hear me? Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of the world. Get your eyes off of what you think's going on in this church. Get down to business with God. Let God work in your life. Let Him rule and reign upon the throne of your life. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, living God. Holy, holy. Living God. Oh, it is His love. It's His love that He is sharing with you. It's His love that He is wooing and drawing you and pricking you to come to Him.
Jesus.
Oh, living God.
Glory to God. Oh, Lord.
Father.